Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for how mightily you are working in my life and how you have always worked in my life. Lord, thank you. I pray a prayer full of thanks for all the mighty works you are doing now and in you are doing mighty works in the lives of the listeners as well, and I am thankful for that. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for all those times in my life that I have prayed for something, asked for something, and you did not give it to me. Lord, you know the future, and I do not. So I have so much trust that what you do is right and correct, proper and loving. And we get wisdom from the experiences of life, and that's a part of what you do for us too, Lord. I pray with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the second half of today's broadcast, I'm going to talk about a little trauma that happened to me in my life. But just now, today, we are a few days before the day that is celebrated as Christ's birthday. And scholars say that that's not the day, but we still feel the joy of having Jesus Christ in our world. And that's a part of our life experience, to have the joy of Jesus Christ. It's God. And we do have such wonderful, wonderful parts of having Jesus Christ in our life and even eternal life with Jesus. So we want to use that life to glorify God through Jesus Christ. And then we get the best part, which is the heaven experience. Wonderful. As a young man, as a teen, I was so afraid of death. And then in my 30s, I had a kind of a death experience, and wherever I went was so wonderful that I've never been afraid of death since then. So, well, whoops, I'm going to talk about the joy of Christmas and not that. Well, we celebrate this time when we think about Jesus Christ coming into the world, that Jesus is the glorious hope for everyone in the world. And I am fond of Luke chapter 1 and right in there, 2 and 3. There's an introduction to the cousin of Jesus. We are first introduced to the cousin's father, Zacharias, who, with his wife, in their old age, gave birth to that cousin, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. And Zacharias was shocked to be visited by the angel Gabriel. Zacharias was again shocked that the angel would tell him that he and his wife would have a son. Yeah, and in a human way, this was apparently impossible. But through God, all things are possible. And when you look at the miracles that are in the Bible, well, yes, there are so many miracles. And miracles still happen today. Keep your eyes open, look around, and you'll see them. Sometimes the miracles are in the events that happen, and it is just an amazing thing to see one thing or another has happened. And another amazing part of miracles is the timing of the events, because God orchestrates the timing. And when we see that and see what God has orchestrated We know that it's a miracle and not just an event that happened. So, Luke chapter 1. Zacharias doubted what the angel was saying, and this was about the same as doubting what God said. And so, Zacharias was told by the angel that he would be unable to speak until the birth of his son. And that is what happened. While the mother of John the Baptist was, her name was Elizabeth, while she was pregnant, Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to visit Elizabeth. And when the two women met, or when the two babes got close, Jesus leapt in Mary's womb at joy. What a joy. And then a little bit of time passed, and John the Baptist was born. And immediately, Zacharias could speak again, just as the angel had said. Very soon after that, Jesus Christ was born of Mary. And Jesus was born in a manger, for there was no room at the inn. Yeah, that's the song. And baby Jesus laid down his sweet head. Yeah, the songs. And so Luke in chapter 2, in that chapter, there's a number of headings, and I'm just going to read the headings so we can get an idea of the events. Christ was born of Mary. The next heading is glory in the highest. Then the circumcision of Jesus, and Jesus presented in the temple. Timian sees God's salvation, which was the Christ Jesus. And then Anna bears witness to the Redeemer, Christ Jesus. And then the family returns to Nazareth. And the boy Jesus amazes the scholars. And Jesus advances in wisdom and favor. See, that's what some of the Bibles say as the headings to the chapters, not the chapters, to the parts of that chapter. So in Luke chapter 2, it is the source of so many of our Bible stories and Bible songs. And there is the manger scene that we are familiar with, and there is the shepherds who were in the fields. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verse 8, because it's just a good bit to read there. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made it widely known, the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. All of these things Mary kept in her heart and pondered. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So this passage is a glorious passage. A minute ago, I read glory to God in the highest. How wonderful to examine and to think about how we can give glory to God. And further, how we can think of God in the highest. Yes, the highest. So, what would you really and truly consider God in the highest position to be? Can God be higher than anything that you want or anything you own? Do you remember how much God loves you? And this is a part of placing God in the highest, when we think of how much God loves you and he wants your life to be blessed. And that is why he made those laws which you and I are to obey. Those laws, you know, everyone knows them. It starts with the Ten Commandments, and they introduce us to what we are to do and what we are not to do. The Ten Commandments is the beginning of the law which shows us, which teaches us how to live, even what to think about. There's a few people these days who are just saying, Ten Commandments is just too many. I can't even remember half of them. You know that. You know there's so many people today who cannot remember the Ten Commandments. So we can be thankful to God because he has given us two great commandments. It's so simple. Two great commandments are written in Matthew 22:34, which reads, "You shall love," you know what, "you shall," this is a little shortened. Let's see, here it goes. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love God, love your neighbor. That's what I was thinking was the short version. So, love. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, we certainly do want to be loved. And we want to have somebody to love, too. It sounds simple. And in a way, it is simple. All we have to do is love. Well, what is love? That is a pretty big question. What is love? I think it is looking for what the very best is for. for a person. Well, that's the human love. The God love is to give our heart, our soul, and our mind to God, Jesus. That's what he calls the first great commandment, and the second part is to love your neighbor as yourself, which is thinking about what is the very best for that other person. Yes, so think, what could that be? What could be the best? And I think of judgment, I do. And according to what is inside of you, we will be judged. What you do is how we will be judged. So, we just have to consider all that and really be truthful to what we know and understand. And we know that, don't we? Well, we kind of do. Pretty much we do. And sometime we have to look deep into our own thinking and make sure that we're not fooling ourselves, because it's pretty easy to do, to think you're doing something for someone else and then have it be that it's doing you good, more so in your eyes. So God knows all of that. He knows everything, and there is nothing that you can ever hide from God. He knows all the things that are inside of each one of us. So, with him knowing all your thoughts and all your actions and your motivations, we all get judged, for the Christians for the rewards and the non-Christians for their inactions or wrong motives. So, I think what we know, though, is that everything that God does in judgment is completely right and just. So that makes some of us feel pretty good, and it makes some of us pretty worried, because we know what our true motivation were at one point or another, how we thought and what we did. It's it's something to think about. So, thankfully, thank you, Jesus, that we have the cleansing blood of Jesus when we accept his sacrifice for our sins, his death on the cross. And then we repent of our sins and we live a born-again life. Is it pretty simple? In a way it is. And in a way we keep having to work at that one, don't we? Yes, in one way it is just so easy, because we all want the one gift that he offers, which is heaven and not hell. So think about this gift, and you can feel how much God loves you. And this will make it easier when we feel God's love. It's easier to repent of our sins and to live a born-again life. So we keep studying the Bible to understand more and more of our Lord God, Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We get more of an understanding as we read, and I do like to read the book of John in the New Testament, and certainly I suggest everyone does. John is a short book, 30 or 40 pages, depending on which Bible you have, the size of the print. It's not much to read, and it gives you so much understanding and comfort, and defines a lot of things. So, yes, I like that book of John. It kind of makes some things clear. The Bible does help you to understand and to grow in your faith. And I strongly suggest that you do give a little prayer to God before you read his book. I I like to ask God to give me the understanding that He would have me to have. That's a prayer often I say before I read the Bible and after I read the Bible. Okay, let's see. A little more about Christmas. Well, maybe that's enough, but we can look up plenty. There's plenty about Christmas, and you can look at it for many different lights of different ways of looking at it. I try very much not to intermix the pagan culture or pagan customs that go along with Christmas. But like I said, I think it's a matter of what is in your heart. Are you celebrating Jesus? I'll leave that to you and to look into with your own mind and your own heart. But there are questions. Just acknowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as much as you possibly can. Yes, at this time of year, but also at every time of our life. His name is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, and His position is Christ, which means the chosen one of God. So as we go through life, we either choose the way of Jesus Christ or we choose the way of the world. One way favors heaven, the other way favors hell, the path to hell. So if you want to be assured that you are living your choice, well, study it out. Read and believe the Bible. And I know that there are plenty of people who will tell you just what it takes to be saved. And why would I know the answer to that? Why would I know that a man was telling you right or not? I think that what we do is look for the best information that we can have. And I think that is found in the Bible when you read it yourself. Now, I've gotten advice from quite a few people. Very often it is free advice, and some of the other times I have paid for advice from professional people. And so I know that there are different sources, and different people do give you different advice, and that's just life. And I think of even pastors and priests. They can give you good information or just plain different information, each one of them. But you want a larger part of the story, then you can find it for yourself with the true source of information about Jesus, about heaven and hell, about salvation, about living life. And that is in our Holy Bible. It's in the Bible. And that is the truest source for information about heaven and hell and God and Jesus, salvation. You know that there are, if you ever look at law, civil law or criminal law, you know that there are just hundreds and hundreds of books that are written about all the aspects of law. It's a big study. And there is just one book that you need to read to understand salvation and God, Jesus, and living this life. And that's the Bible. If you prefer to just read the New Testament, that's good too. As far as I can tell, all the information you really need is in that book. And It's only about 300 pages. Oh, 350 pages. It depends on the size of the printing of each page. It depends on that particular Bible. But I mean to say 300 or so pages is really that, it's not that much if you consider what you would gain from it. It's worth reading. That's really what I want to tell everyone who will hear it. And then you can read the information that you need for yourself firsthand, directly from the book that God has written to each one of us, the Bible. And that book has changed so many lives. It is written about by so many people. So we can do good to study it. It's a good thing to read that book. I sure found it to be so good, and I'm pretty sure anyone who reads it would say the same thing. It's a good book to read, and it will help you to sincerely celebrate Jesus Christ in the coming days, and in fact, all the coming days of your life. It is a good book to have read. As I have lived, I have seen life circumstances. They work out. They really do. And even if there are difficult times, these circumstances will bring glory to God and goodness into our own life. I have seen this happen many, many times, where difficult things happen to people in every way. They have difficulties. I have had difficulties. Yes, I've had my share of them, but what I have seen over time is that these difficulties will at some point bring glory to God, and it will bring the people or person involved good. And that's just the repeated pattern over and over. Glory to God and goodness to us. Yeah, difficult times. I've seen difficult times, and over and over again, over time, life difficulties will bring glory to God and bring us good. And that makes it more easy to go through something difficult in life. Yeah, it sure does. When a week ago, I had something difficult in my life. There was a fire, and there were many people who responded with love and compassion, and the fire was difficult. There were a lot of people who wanted to help, and a lot of people who were joyful that I made it through the fire alive. And we all know life experiences have surprises, and there are occurrences that happen that we just plain would never expect. So here I am in Chico, where I have been for many years previous to this. And my wife often these days are teaching several of our grandchildren to read and is helping them with school. It's a completely wonderful thing for those grandchildren. And I am just so happy that she is doing that for those grandchildren and for our children as well. So for me, I'm just glad that she's doing this, and even if she's not always with me, I am so glad that those choices have been made. I'm glad for the children and grandchildren, and for her, because it's teaching children brings you in a close relation with those children. So I'm just glad for everybody. And that's a part of the circumstances about what has happened with us being apart when the fire happened. So I know that God has his will in all of this, and he protects us, and we say yes, Lord, as much as we possibly can. I think of how God directs circumstances. In fact, I can use this radio broadcast as an example of God directing circumstances. See, that I'm even here and doing this is really quite amazing, because it's not something I had ever thought to do. But he brought the circumstances, brought me into it in a way that I could ease into the circumstance, into radio. 6 years ago, my friend started this broadcast, Christ Today. And he said to me, "John, what if I cannot be there at one time or another? What if I have to leave for something? Can you just sit in for me while I do this radio broadcast?" And I said I would. I did that for 2 years. I was a backup for this radio broadcast, and I sat with him, and I helped him in little ways. And when he would have to be gone, I was there to take his place. And he did bring guests in, and then could not be there. So I would talk to someone about what was going on in the Christian community. And then after he had been the host of Christ Today for nearly 2 years, he decided to give up the broadcast and get married. So a month after he decided this and talked to me about it, I decided that this broadcast was too good to let it leave the air. And so I decided to continue to host Christ Today in the same weekly format. So for the last 4 years, I have been the host of Christ Today radio broadcast. And there have been a wide variety of guests and a wide variety of subjects that I have tried to talk about to make things kind of interesting and talk about our community and things that might interest one person or another. That's what I have tried to do. And I am so pleased to say that in these 4 years of weekly radio broadcast, I have only had one rebroadcast. Other than that one, every broadcast has been something a little bit different, even if I stay on a same similar theme. Every broadcast has been different. Well, I had better get back to the subject at hand, which I was wanting to explain how I am married and why my wife was not with me at the fire. Because I was sleeping in the fifth wheel, and it suddenly caught fire for some unknown reason. And that happened to me just about a week ago, very close to 4 a.m. in the morning. And oh, what an experience! It was even coming close to death. I saw in about 5 minutes, maybe a little more, maybe not, but it was really, really close to 5 minutes that the fifth wheel was completely engulfed in flames. And if I had not been awakened, what I really see that it was awakened by God's Holy Spirit, that He awakened me. So it would have been different if I had not have woke up. But I did wake up. And when I awoke, I smelled what I recognized as electrical insulation, electric wire insulation melting. So I went to check on whatever I could. I checked the electrical cords, and I didn't notice anything inside. Nothing was hot, but I still smelled that electrical insulation smell. So I went outside, looked, and there was just a little bit of flame that quickly grew. Just a little flame. So I went and I got the hose just a dozen feet away, and the water did slow the flame for a minute, well, less than a minute, but the water slowed the flame, and then, poof, it all became engulfed in flames. The hose had no more effect, and the fire quickly grew to have 20-foot-high flames. No exaggeration, 20-feet-high flames. It was so hot. The fire was hot. I put cold water on my legs just to cool down my legs because it was so hot. Well, the fire department quickly arrived. I was glad for that. And I was also glad for my neighbor who quickly came out. I was concerned for my neighbor, and my neighbor was concerned for me. And so glad I got to ask him for a pair of pants because I just got out of bed like 5 minutes earlier. It was pretty close to that. And it was, what an experience to have all of your basic things lost, even your pair of pants and your wallet. And it was just basically to leave everything in a burning house and have a fire burn all of your belongings. So my pants were lost, my wallet was lost, my little money I had was burned, and my keys were unfindable. Well, I just was very thankful that I was not burned to death. It could have been something that would have happened so quickly. And initially, my neighbor and his family thought that for sure I was burned up in that fire. And I'm so sorry for that trauma that they went through. I survived. I came out of it just fine. A little smoky. Anyway, this fire has made it quite difficult, but I'm not the only one who's had a fire. So many people have had fires. Fires that destroy everything, all their belongings, all of their papers, all of their property. That's what happened to me. Just like those people who went through the 2018 Paradise Camp Fire. Well, I was right with that, right close to it. I knew so many people who went through that. And I can say that now, I truly do understand the destruction that fire causes, it's a lot to experience. What an experience. And what an experience to not even have pants to wear that are your own and no wallet. I never had anything like that happen to me where I had to borrow somebody's pants. Oh, but I want to give thanks that my body did not burn. I am so thankful that I did not burn up. You know, I didn't want to die that way, and I didn't want to have the pains of living with burns on my body. Everything that I have is so very minor. I have just a little bit of fire damage on me, but everything is small. But I could certainly see that after the fire, so many people were concerned, and I want to give thanks to my wife and my children, my family, and certainly to my many dear Christian friends who were there. They came in minutes, and they stayed for hours, and they were there with me through the event. I'm thankful for that. I do want to remind everyone that it is essential that whatever our pain is, it is essential that we maintain our spiritual health and our mental health and our physical health, because all that makes up who we are. And we seek out that good health, and we seek out that which is good. We have a good attitude. And we seek out God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, we do. And we give thanks for all the things that we have. There are so many good things. I have seen many things happen in life. Often, something bad can happen. We see it as bad. It's pretty unpleasant. And after that, we see something good occurs, and we are grateful. We're so grateful, and we gain faith, and we gain confidence that whatever happens, God is watching over us. And that's what I want to tell you. God is watching over us, and He watched over me. And yes, I lost the things, some things, lots of things. But, you know, there's so many beautiful things that we have. Remember the beauty. Remember the good. All of our friends, our family, and even other people who just plain have compassion. It's so strong in me that I recognize the love that people have, the compassion of people reaching out, wanting to give a healthy, helping hand. And that's what so many people have done. They have reached out and wanted to give a helping hand and express concern in every way. I am so thankful to know the many people. And yes, we will miss things. Things get burned, things get destroyed, lost, stolen. All those things. I'll miss the pictures of my children growing up and my parents and grandparents when they were young and alive. I'll miss my dad's knife. I'll miss the tools, the one that I just had. I no longer have a screwdriver or files or vice grips or anything. Yes, there's a lot I'm going to miss. But there's so much that I have. Whew. Sorry. When I think of the friends and family I have, I'm blessed. I'm thankful to God and Jesus who loves me. I'm thankful to my family, my friends, and those who love me. I'm glad that I know what's important, and that is, well, it's the younger generation. It's our children, our grandchildren. We want to have them have joy. We want them to have a joyous time in life, and we want to have appreciation for all the things that we do have. And when I think of all the things I do have, I am rich. I'm so thankful to have a body that works, and I have my senses. I think about my eyes sometime, because when I was born in the 1950s, I was 3 months premature in the hospital. And thankfully, I had a nurse who was just a young nurse, and she learned to care for infants and other patients. And she loved me so much. So I am thankful for that nurse. No doubt that her love and God's love kept me alive. She had to regularly turn me over because I was so soft and pliable that my skull would flatten if I was not turned. That's how premature I was. But I was born at a time when most of the premature babies lost their sight. That's what I was trying to say. I was trying to tell you how grateful I am to have my sight. See, at that time, the doctors gave premature babies pure oxygen so they could breathe easily. But my doctor was an innovator, and he suspected that the oxygen was attacking the retina of the baby's eyes, and that is what was causing the blindness. So my baby doctor experimented with me, and he instructed the nurses to only give me oxygen when my skin was turning blue, when my lips were turning blue. Only then was I allowed to have oxygen. And so to this day, I can appreciate that I have my vision. I'm thankful to God, thankful to Jesus. It seems like I'm talking about myself a lot. Well, I did it more than I intended. Okay. Well, one more thing. I wonder about why this fire occurred. The fire department says causes unknown. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But it happened. And so many people have been attacked by fire recently in history. And certainly, it gives every one of us more empathy with people that are hurting, more empathy with people that have had loss. And we want to remember that we want people to not have harm and not have loss and to be a part of the kingdom of God. Yeah, so we want to speak about Jesus at every opportunity that we can and show the love of God, which he has given us. He has loved us, and we can share that with other people. Oh, yes, there were losses. Fire always brings losses. I will miss my grain and rice that were wheat and rice that were lost in the fire. I will lose a lot and miss a lot, but we still have so many things. so many things, and we are each one of us able to acquire more things. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord God. We have so much that we are that we have in our just goodness of things, and we can get more things. We have life. We can still care for other people. Thank you, Lord God. I did wonder if just perhaps I was leaning on my own preparedness, supplies, and knowledge and skills and everything too much, and maybe I was not leaning on God enough. I don't know. I think time will tell, and that's what I want to just suppose and suggest, that God teaches us things, and he deals with each one of us differently. Now, just because I lost my grains and food and other things, it doesn't mean that that applies to you. Perhaps you don't have enough, and so I would just suppose that maybe you could get more supplies and more things for that just in case. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. There's so many lessons in there, and you ask God to show you. Ask God for direction, and let him show you what to do. God gives us all experience, and we all learn this or that. I believe, I just know, I've seen it too many times. Only good will come from this trial. Only good. So, I know that God works in the life of believers, in the life of his children, and even in other people who need to come to Christ. God works in people's lives. And so I know that everything will be good. Everything will be... I think that if I would know what God knows, and he told me what would happen from this fire experience, I am sure that I would agree and say, yes, Lord, I agree with this happening. So, that's what I think. Today, I'm still a little short on the technology aspect. I do host Christ Today, but I'm really not so good with a computer or a smartphone. I have one of each, and they do help me. My business used to be as a industrial property manager. It had nothing to do with radio, but somehow God put me in this position. And I'm learning about technology a little bit here and a little bit there. So that's why you have to contact me with snail mail, I guess that's what they call it, the U.S. Postal Service. I'm fine with whatever happens, but if anybody does want to send a donation this way, that would be fine too. And all I have is my P.O. Box, Post Office Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I'll give that again in a few minutes. But I want you to know that there's so many people who need things, and I would only want anyone to give something if it was extra. I think your emergency preparations are so important that I don't want you to take away from those. I am glad to have a helping hand, but I think it is more important that you take care of your emergency supplies. I don't have any insurance. I thought, what could go wrong with a fifth-wheel trailer? I thought, I don't need this. Everything's safe, no problem. But I was wrong. And I still have my free preparedness pamphlet, and I have ideas that just might inspire you to think about your situation and preparing for a natural disaster. I am so glad to send you my free preparedness pamphlet. And if you send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I will gladly send that to you. To send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I always invite anyone to listen again to any of the broadcasts. Sometime they're interesting. And you would just go to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. There's things that are just going on in life all over the place. And we don't like fire. We don't like hellfire either. So that's a part of what we do. We pray for the unsaved, and we take action when we can, when it is appropriate. And so pay attention to the opportunities that are in front of you. And when it is right, speak about Jesus Christ. Ask God to give you the words, and things will flow out of you. I know it because it's happened too many times. God gives us the strength. God gives us the words. And we just ask for it. Just remember to ask God. We have situations in California where things are just going on. I didn't talk about a thing today of current things in California. Many people are seeking to leave California because they are sensing the declines and the troubles coming, and how the social programs are having a negative effect on the life of the citizens. So we are going to see changes in the United States. We're going to see this vaccine coming along too, and there's plenty of people who are saying that it is endangering. This is healthcare workers. 60% of healthcare workers have expressed, this is one study. You know, there's studies. Determine it, search it out. But they are saying that there is indications that it will stop a person's fertility. Do I know it? No, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. But there's things going on in life currently, and we can't forget about them. We have to remember them. But I do urge everyone to be careful with electricity and electrical cords in this season especially. Be careful, and thank you. May God bless everyone, each one of you who is listening especially. God bless you.